I'm going to give a quick overview of the processing we did on the C-130 drop-zone data. Here's an overview. There are 683 drop-zones in the final data set from 26 flights, including the test flights, two aircraft. That'll be important for one of the particular issues we're going to talk about, and six tropical systems, the three major ones, Malacca, Penampi, and Meggy, of course. Just to zoomed in for the releases for the early flights and number of sons for each of the cases. The Penampi flights, 8 flights, 194 drops. Malacca, 6 flights, 170. And Meggy, 7 flights and 221 drops. Here's an overview of the quality control process. There's an in-field data inspection that we do. In the case of ITOP slash predict and GRIP, there was uncovered a PTU oscillation problem that I'll discuss in more detail later that led to a lot of work by NCAR and VISLA engineers to fix that problem. It has been fixed for future projects. Unfortunately, it does exist in the ITOP data, raw data. We conduct a profile examination on the raw data where we look for a number of issues such as launch detect errors, fast falls, sounds that don't reach the surface, sensor failures, again, this PTU oscillation noise, and pressure offsets. I'll talk about each of these issues coming up. We run Aspen, which is the quality control software that NCAR has developed, and we're actually using a new version of Aspen for ITOP that incorporates, for those of you who know, the edit sound, some of the edit sound that NOAA uses. So a lot of those properties are now part of Aspen, and that's an ongoing development. New versions of Aspen will come out with full edit sound capabilities. It provides analysis tools, QT diagrams, XY plots, removes the suspect data points, derives the geopotential height, which I'll talk about later, performs some smoothing, and it allows batch processing for large data sets such as ITOP. We look at time series of pressure, temperature, humidity, and winds, allows for the examination of the consistency of the soundings, temporal and spatial variability of the data, and to check and correct any problematic soundings. We look at histograms of pressure, temperature, humidity, and wind. Again, allows to check the distribution and range of each parameter and its reasonableness, and to check and correct any problematic soundings. In the case of ITOP, at the request of the PIs, we also derive vertical winds. This is a separate process from the quality control. It's done afterwards. I'll talk a bit more about that later, but that's included in the ITOP data set. And we finally do a visual examination of the QSEED soundings to make sure that any other issues are not there, and we do a final release with detailed documentation of the findings. This is an example of the time series that we look at. Over here is a DZDT, a fall rate. And you can see examples of fast falls where these are falling at a much faster rate than the surrounding drop zones. I'll talk about that issue again in more detail later. You can also see some of the zones that don't reach the surface here. Here's the temperature for all the zones. And these are the types of things that we look at for finding zones that don't reach the surface. This is all of the drops in this case, but we look at much smaller segments so you can see more easily suns that don't reach the surface because the temperature profiles don't match up, for example. Here's plots of the relative humidity for all the suns and the wind speed. This is just an example of the histograms. Nothing too shocking here. It's basically what you'd expect. Okay, now to talk about some of the issues that we have in the raw ITOP soundings and were corrected. Fast falls and partial fast falls. The issue here is that the drop zones fall with rates 1.5 to 2 times the usual rate. It can be for either the entire drop or for a period after release. During ITOP, there were 25 complete fast falls and 20 partial fast falls. Over here, this is an example of a fast fall sounding. The blue line here is the actual fall rate for the sound, and this green line next to it is a more typical fall rate. So again, it's about 1.5 to 2 times the normal fall rate. Here's a partial fast fall where you have this extremely high fall rate for the beginning of the sounding and then this rapid decrease in the fall rate, and then it falls more normal speed for the rest of the drop. The cause of this is the parachute failing to deploy or deploying late for a partial fast fall. This often results in a tumbling action in the drop sound, and the wind speed and wind direction are completely unreliable for these fast fall periods. So as you can see here, for this complete fast fall, the winds are very erratic, and for the partial fast fall, they're very erratic during this period of fast fall and then become much more consistent below that. So the correction is for these soundings, the wind speed, wind direction, and vertical wind parameters are set entirely to missing during the period of fast fall. So for the ones that are full fast fall all the way to the surface, all the winds are removed for those soundings. For ones that are partial fast falls, just that period of fast fall, the winds are removed. There were 6 soundings that had very large offsets, temporary offsets in pressure, temperature, and humidity. You can see the examples here, where this is the regular curve here, and then these offsets are way off to the side. This was caused by a PTU firmware problem that has since been corrected. The basic correction here is, of course, the PTU data during these periods are set to missing. It's 6 soundings and short periods of time. Now, the PTU oscillation problem, 27 drop sounds had varying degrees of this issue in pressure, temperature, and or relative humidity. It varies pretty substantially. It can happen. I'll zoom in. We'll look at this area of this drop sound right here. You can see this is temperature on the bottom, pressure on the top, on the side. And you can see it's oscillating in both pressure and temperature during this entire stretch. The cause of this is rather complex. This led to a lot of work on the behalf of NCAR and VISLA engineers to decipher this problem. It occurred in the AVAPS 2, version A2 and A3 sons. These are mainly sons that were manufactured after the 10th week of 2010. After investigation by NCAR and VISLA, it was found that RF energy from the drop son transmitter antenna was inducing noise in the PTU module, which was caused by a manufacturing change in the PTU module and the tolerance of the electronic components in the drop son. This problem has since been fixed for version A5 of AVAPS 2, but of course did exist off and on during ITOP. So the correction here, these files are passed through Aspen with much more restrictive QC parameters than are typically removed. It removes virtually all evidence of these oscillations. There are still some smaller scale residual effects can be seen in the calculated DZDT. So as a result, these soundings have very sparse data during these periods. As you can see here, there's almost no data left in this period of this oscillation. Onto the launch detect problems. These are cases where there's early launch detect, where some data is flagged as in flight while the drop is still in the chute. There were only 4 cases of that. There were 18 cases where there was no launch detect at all during the drop sound, and all of the data is flagged as pre-launch. And there were a very large number in ITOP of late launch detect problems. 440 drops had problems where there was a late launch detect where some of the data is flagged as pre-launch even after the sond has been released. The majority of these were very minor, 1 to 5 seconds, and no corrections were made to the ones that were less than 5 seconds because the first 5 seconds of the drop sond data is typically removed anyway because that's the period where the sond is acclimating to the environment. But those that were greater than 5 seconds, a total of 89, we did apply correction to. And this is an example here where the blue data is flagged as post-release, the black data is pre-release, but you can see here that the sond has obviously been released during that period of time. So what we do in all these cases, we correct the launch times, we update the flight level data to match the new release time, and the data is properly flagged as pre-release or post-release, and all the file names were updated to the correct release time. There was another problem was a so-called pressure jump problem. That's what was described as the initial version of the documentation file. We've since more discovered that it's actually a PC clock drift error. There were 129 soundings where this occurred. All were from the final seven flights of AF-304. This did not occur in AF-307. It did not occur in any of the predict drop zones. There was a large negative spike in ZDT caused by an abrupt pressure offset, or an apparent pressure offset, I should say. You can see here where this curve is coming right down. This is the pressure, nice straight line. Then all of a sudden right here, there's an offset in the pressure. And then it's a nice straight line below that. And this is another case here in this curve. The cause of this ended up being there's a time tag difference between the AVAP's PC clock and the GPS time from the drop zones. And this problem would occur if the drop zone did not have GPS lock prior to release and the PC clock had significantly drifted. You can see that this offset occurs right at the point where you start get GPS lock. So during these periods, it's usually just about 5 seconds that this is impacted. The calculated descent rates and vertical winds were set to missing. There's no real pressure problem here at all. The pressure data is perfectly fine. Some of the other issues that were in the data set, 24 drop zones had experienced a loss of signal prior to release that resulted in varying degrees of data loss, typically about 30 millivars. And without a signal at the time of release, accurate launch times could not be determined. There were 14 drop zones that experienced a loss of signal and failed to transmit data to the surface or had the PTU oscillation problems at the surface. For these soundings, the potential altitude was calculated from the flight level downward. I'll talk more about the altitudes on another slide. There was one sounding that never had a GPS signal, so the file contains no winds or location information. And there were also a total of 15 files that were removed from the archive, either due to the drop sound was started but never actually released, the file contained no data, or the file contained very little data of poor quality. Since the topic of the altitudes in the data set has come up a couple of times, I threw this slide in to just, there are two altitude parameters included in the data set, a GPS altitude and a geopotential altitude. The GPS altitude, to keep in mind, is it's not referenced to mean sea level. Rather, the GPS comes from the height compared to a reference ellipsoid that approximates the real shape of the Earth. So the height may be above or below the actual sea level, depending on location. This is why the ITOP drop sonde surface GPS altitudes are not zero in this data set. We do not do any changes to the GPS altitude data in the data set. So this is just an example here, very gross example, obviously, a little cartoon, of a reference ellipsoid here in green and a sea level in blue here. So for this location here, the GPS altitude would be reading a positive value, and for here, the GPS would be giving you a negative value, for example. For when the sondes reach the surface, EOL calculates a geopotential altitude that is referenced to sea level. It's derived from the surface upwards using the PTU data, using the approximation. And if the sonde did not, as I mentioned, if the sonde didn't transmit to the surface or had the PTU oscillation problems leading to the removal of the surface data, the geopotential altitude cannot be derived from the surface at that point. So it had to be derived from the flight level downwards, and thus these should be used with some caution when dealing with these data sets. So in summary, there were 683 soundings, including the final archive. They do include both filtered and unfiltered vertical wind velocity. The unfiltered is calculated from a pressure calculated and theoretical drop sound rate, and the filtered vertical wind is calculated using the vertical wind subjected to a 20-second low-pass filter. About 4% of the soundings were impacted by this PTU oscillation error to varying degrees. About 1% had the temporary offsets in pressure, temperature, or humidity. 2% failed to transmit to the surface or had the PTU oscillation problems at the surface and thus had to have problems with the geopotential heights. About 4% were fast fall soundings. Another 3% were the partial fast fall soundings. These are where the winds were removed during those periods. Four soundings experienced various failures of one or more sensors resulting in data loss. About 0.5% of the soundings had early launch detects, 3% failed launch detects, and 64.4% had the late launch detect. But only 89 or 13% were actually corrected. 3.5% had the signal loss prior to release that resulted in some data loss. And about 19% had that pressure spike / ABAPS PC clock problem. And all these data are available from the EOL archive. Thanks.
Any questions?
Total, how many were good?
683 are in the final archive.
Okay, they have some of these issues, right?
They had some of these, but they've all been corrected for these various problems.
How many worked as designed? How many were good for the whole launch? That you didn't have to correct or did you lose data?
Well, I don't know offhand, but a large number of them had these small problems, like the 440 that had the PC clock problem, for example. So a large number of them had some problem like that.
Would it be more accurate to use the difference between the reference type and the data to correct more of the type of the measurements? Or is the problem with finding the surface and surface in the data?
Well, no, the GPS, the geopotential altitudes are reference to the surface. It's the GPS altitudes we don't do anything with. That's directly from the GPS instrument.
It's reference
to the ellipsoid. That's the way GPS works.
And then you can account for the difference between that and sea level by looking at the diesel.
Right. But yeah, we don't do anything with the GPS altitudes right now.
Any other question?
No? Oh. So we talked about that yesterday. Will the dot star drop sound be done with the same quality?
That's not clear at the moment, totally.